Thank you for tuning into Soldiers of the Light Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ podcast with your host, Pastor Joe. Each episode will include a conversation style recording where Joe will include a realistic theological perspective to having a close desire and growing closer in allegiance to Jesus Christ and how he contributes his understanding of the Christian life of the world we live in today. Please keep in mind that the audio quality may vary since these podcasts are recorded on multiple devices. The Life's Lessons in Christ episodes are brought to you by Soldiers of the Light Ministries Productions Incorporated. Don't forget to subscribe and thanks again for tuning in.
Hello. And good evening. Listen, tonight we're going to talk about beware of temptations. And, you know, tonight I'm going to be talking from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. And I'm going to read that from the New King James Version. And we're going to jump in tonight on tonight's topic and title. So, listen, when we go back and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, and it reads this. It says, Therefore, right, let whom thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you as such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, may the Lord bless the reading of the word. Tonight, listen, we all know that at some facet of life, we all face some level of temptation. I don't care who you are, you know, yielding. Listen, you know, I've talked to a lot of friends and you know, co-workers, you know, that are believers, brothers and sisters, anyone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, we are all tempted no matter what, if we're Christians or not Christians, okay? Temptation has been around, right, for a very long time. You know, and yielding to temptation can be devastating. It is one of the worst things that can happen to the human race. You know, for example, what happened to Adam and Eve is a classic example of all that can happen to a person when he or she yields to temptation. Now, I got a lot to cover, you know, but I really think about the simple fact of how we as Christians, how we as believers, how we as people still struggle with the ideology and the simple word temptation. Now, listen, you know, when you go back and you read that scripture, right, especially outlined in verse 12, right, you know, there is a fair warning about temptation, right? Temptation, one of the things I've learned is that temptation is universal. Listen, the devil, yes, there is a devil out there who is the tempter. He is no respecter of person. He is described as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom those he can devour. Now, he is the arch enemy of everyone who seeks nothing but bad for all he can tempt, right? He is subtle in his approach, and then he hits at the weakest points when a person is least expecting it. He uses many different tactics. Now listen, you know, temptation needs to be constantly guarded against, right? No one is ever to flirt with temptation. Although we do, there's a lot of people out today who still flirt with temptation. You know, for example, that person may be tempted to steal money out of a fallen wallet, okay? Or that person may be tempted to have a drink, even though they know that that would cause them weakness. That person may be tempted to lie against someone who is totally innocent, right? Now listen, the thing about this, people should watch every move in regard to it. Each person is to be vigilant all the time. There are no moral holidays. There is no freedom from Satan's attack. The warning that if I could give to you, the warning two words is take heed, right? Now, there's a solemn statement here. You know, when you jump over into 1 Corinthians, you know, in verse 13 of chapter 10, it says, God is always, I want you to understand this, God is always conscious of our temptation. The Lord himself will never tempt anyone to do wrong. He does not promise to remove it. He only promises grace and his mercy to withstand it. Now you may think for a minute, and I'm going to come back to my key points here, but there is something about the simple fact of what temptation can do to a person. What temptation can really destroy someone. And listen, you know, and the thing about it is what makes it worthy is that salvation itself makes it worthy, right? Now, I want to give you an analogy here. The classic story of repentance leading to salvation. Listen, unless we've had this experience, unless we ourselves have been undragged or untempted, there is no hope that we will make any real and lasting progress against the sin and the temptations in our lives. Now, as if you ever see a movie or a fiction story of a dragon, right? It's scaly. It's got its fire breathing. It's long. It's very mysterious. It's very it has a very angry mystery in its facial features, but it's always a constant threat. You know, just as ugly and burdensome as our dragon scales and skins may be, it is often painful for us to part with them, right? Now, some of the scales are deeply rooted sins, right? Some of the dragon scales are layers, check this out, are layers of defense we have created carefully put in a place to protect ourselves from God and others. Now, we think that if others knew what we really were really like, they could never love us. These scales to make us resist change. That is probably one of the enemy's greatest tactics, right? That, you know, if he can get us to have those type of scales, right, it will make us resist change, right? It would make us want to not turn away to the things that we know are good, but to stay in the constant battle of the things that we know are bad, right? Now listen, but the thing is that, you know, what we really need, right? You know, when you look at the scales, now I'm just using this as an analogy here, and I'm using the scales of a dragon. You know, gradually, you know, the thing about it is our other scales are the nagging bad habits we have formed, right? Especially in the realms of temptation that make us feel weak. That's the enemy's job. That makes us feel weak and guilty. That's another tactic of the enemy. He longs to make you weak and guilty. Now for these things, we take up self-help programs and can go through determination occasionally to peel off a surface scale or two and feel somewhat better about ourselves. We might lose sometimes a few pounds and clean up our language or quit yelling at the kids for a few days. But what we really need is true repentance, right? A deep penetration and cleansing of our hearts, and we cannot accomplish this on our own. We must have God's help, right? Even the self-awareness needed to begin the process cannot happen without the grace of God. Only God can show us what we really are like, you know, deep down inside. He alone, when I said earlier, the simple fact that God is always conscious of our temptation, only He alone can show us, you know, what we really are like, you know, deep down. He alone can lead us through the maze of our scaly defenses and reveal our inner need. And only He can begin in us the healing that brings new life. You know, Paul said something like this. He said, Paul writes, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, right? We can praise and thank God in joy when He pierces our hearts and reveals to us the depth of our draggedness, right? It is the step towards authentic change. You know, now seeing ourselves as we really are and feeling truly sorry for our sinfulness is the godly sorrow that brings genuine repentance. This is a gift and a blessing from God. And make no mistake, when you go through things, you know, when we understand individual temptations are unique as such, they are common to all. No one will be tempted above that which he or she is able to stand. However, now, when we think about this for a minute, when I talked about true repentance for a second, true repentance is still painful, but without it, we can never be free from the burdens of our dragonness and the burdens of our temptations, right? God will guide us into repentance and seal our turning from sin with a new heart in the Spirit and a new confidence in Christ. Now, you know that marvelous line from Amazing Grace sums up the process beautifully. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. You know, God's grace reveals our deep need for Christ, and God's grace blesses us with the love and forgiveness that satisfies our need. This is what is meant to be free in Christ. Now, listen, the thing about this is that, you know, when you learn about the simple fact of, you know, the solemn statement, God is always conscious of our temptation, and there's individual temptations are not unique as such, right? That no one will be tempted above what that which he or she can stand. There's a passionate plea when you think about this, right? When the Bible says, when he says, you know, take heed, right? Take heed, take heed. You know, take heed is, you know, to listen to the warnings of those who know and are concerned about one's welfare. It is to listen and adhere to the words of the Bible. It is to respond favorably, right, in regard to the warning. That means, you know, God always gives us a way of escape. God always gives us an avenue. You know, the simple fact is this. What I want to teach is that if we do not grasp the fact that we are not instantly perfected, we can be in for a difficult journey, but truly an unnecessary struggle. You know, a verse like Romans 6:6, you know, can get us off track. It says, the Revised Standard Version reads this. He says, we know that our old self was crucified, right? Was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. You know, the key term here is destroyed. When we read that our old self has been destroyed, you know, some people might think that it's been obliterated, annihilated, or put out of existence. But the tension creates for us is that it is simply not. We what we experience after crossing into the kingdom of Christ, we are still tempted. And the struggle to resist the sins and the sin natures of this world remains. So, you know, how could this be if our old man was annihilated in the salvation process? It is true that, you know, my old self is obliterated as the verse apparently suggests, but, excuse me, it is also true that we still struggle with the sin and that we're forced to draw conclusions that are unhealthy to our progress as a Christian. Now, excuse me, you know, the simple fact is that when we flee from idolatry, an idol is, excuse me, an idol is anything that stands between us and God. Idolatry is breaking the first commandment, which is outlined in Exodus 20, verse 3. And, you know, when we think about that, let's really pause for a minute. Now, here's the thing. You know, when we flee from idolatry. You know, like I said, idolatry is anything that stands between us and God. Idolatry is breaking, like I said, of that first commandment, like I said, that was outlined in Exodus 23. To flee from idolatry is to be so close to God, right, that there is no time, right, in there's no time for an idol or any type of sin to exist between us and God. Now, when I talk about the word to flee is to basically spend time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord. It is to seek high and noble things. When we flee from the temptations and the ideologies and the things of this world, we cultivate a good relationship and right attitudes. We rededicate ourselves to the Lord daily. Now, you know, Paul said, you know, I crucify my flesh daily. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, we have to remember this. We have to remember this. You know, the old man, even though, you know, we might be healed, or the old injury no longer has the power to control our lives as it did. This is the way it is with the old man, right? But remember one thing, that old man is still there, right? And he's going to bother you from time to time, reminding you of your former injuries, your former sins. And listen, now that, you know, when we take the initiative to rededicate ourselves daily to the Lord, right? And the simple fact that now that we've been healed, you know, it is now we have a new health rather than an injury that dominates your very life, a sin that dominates your very life. This is the interesting thing about God's healing. When he heals, right, he leaves the broken thing in place. Instead of fixing the broken thing, he brings his power through the Holy Spirit to overcome the brokenness, the balance of power that has shifted into our spiritual life. God does not remove, now listen, let's understand this for a second. He does not remove the boulders of the rapids of life. He raises the level of the water. Remember that. Now, the point of all this is that Christians will still and do sin. Paul shares, you know, in Romans chapter 7, verses 23 to 20, his personal struggles with temptation. You know, the actions, you know, for example, of the 12 apostles during the time that Christ was taken and right after the resurrection show their sins of faithlessness, denial, pessimism, and the lack of loyalty. And the apostle John writes in a general letter to the Christians, he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Listen, if we claim that we are not tempted, right, on a daily basis, Christians will continue to fight temptation. It is going to be, y'all, a lifelong battle. The goal for our lives is clear. And listen, and Peter writes this. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You know, and one of the things I want to outline for you is this. You're being tempted, right? And probably you're being tempted right at this very moment. And the devil is always after you. Listen to the admonition of Scripture and we can gain victory over Satan, right? God's goals for us is holiness, but what method would he use if we're not blessed with an instant spiritual perfection? And then how are we to move forward in the holiness of God? Well, that's sanctification by grace. You know, the simple fact, the beginning of holiness for us does not lie first in our determined effort to clean up our lives. The road to holiness always begins with our submission, right? Our submission to God as the prime mover in sanctifying the process. Our highest priority, right, is our relationship with Christ. We commit and recommit ourselves to being willing, responsive, in obedience to the call and the movement of His Holy Spirit in our lives. We cannot make ourselves holy, right? We cannot just flee from temptation or the sins of this world or on our own, right? Now, but what we can do is learn how to cooperate more completely with the Holy Spirit and to give ourselves to God according to his timing for our progress. Listen, it is a hard job making us holy, but God will have his way, and we can definitely count on that. Now, listen, I just want to continue this because now I'm starting to see something here, because now I want us as men and women to understand the simple fact of the things that we go through every single day. Just like Adam and Eve did, right? Just like David did. You know, nobody is exempt in this world from temptation. And I'm telling you that, and I know that, you know, but listen, in one important sense, right? Everything we have been saying about you know, temptation and the fact that, you know, talking about God's holiness is already it's already a reality in our lives, right? Holiness is already a done deal. Jesus has already accomplished our righteousness through his sinless life and his sacrificial death on our behalf. Now, grasping this truth will never change forever how we see God's work in our lives to bring about the transformed character he desires, right? He already has accomplished holiness through us through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. This is God's way of taking the pressure off and letting us grow at a natural rate. It is like being granted a university degree cum laude, right? The first day of your freshman year, you have already graduated with the highest honors, right? Now, the crazy thing is this. I'm going on with this because this is good. There's no need to bite your nails, to worry, to get totally stressed out. No one needs to stay up late cramming for tests. Now you can really learn. You are set free to develop at your own pace. You are set free from temptation. God has accomplished righteousness through grace. Now we can live, right, and move in that reality, working in the power of the Spirit toward realizing in our lives what has already been accomplished in Christ, right? His commands are not burdensome, right? Remember when I said that earlier about the fact that, you know, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. When you look at that simple thing, right? God is perfecting us. You know, when John writes, he says, you know, he writes, we are supposed to enjoy the freedom of growing in Christ without the pressures of constant guilt, low self-esteem, and frustrations of unreal professionalism. This is the healthy way God has provided for our lifelong growth towards holiness. Now, here you know, the thing about this that I really wanted to leave with you, right? The key to our ability to live free as free men and women will be whether we can internalize fully that we are forgiven, and that God loves us when we fail, and that our growth towards holiness is in God's loving and sovereign hands, right? Unless we can accept that both salvation and sanctification or by grace, our striving will always lead to frustration, anxiety, and eventual despair. For we'll be, you know, what will happen is we'll be returning again and again to the hopelessness task of trying to earn God's love. This is and always been an impossible possibility. Now listen, I want to say this. Jesus died on the cross to free us from the cycle of failure, temptations, and despairs that marks all human attempts to achieve righteousness. God wants us to learn obedience and experience the joy and freedom that submission to Christ can bring. This can only be accomplished by living daily and learning from our successes and from our mistakes and failures, right? God's blessing of forgiveness gives us a new beginning in Him. So it is that we progress in the Christian faith, and as Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. True joy cannot be had in any other way. Now, you know, there's a lifetime of soaking in the marinade of God's grace. You know, I want to use an analogy here for a second. You know, think about this for a minute. A good chef knows what a long soak in a fine marinade will do for a tough piece of meat. There is no way to slap on a glaze at the last second and get the same result. This is God's way with us. We soak in the marinade of His grace for a lifetime, right? Right? And then there is simply no way to rush the process without ruining the meat. A lifetime of soaking in the marinade of God's grace can transform even the toughest sinner into a heavenly delicacy. That means no matter what you go through, no matter what is thrown your way, when you begin to flee from the things of this world and cultivate a good relationship with a right attitude, right? You know, we can then, again, in ending, you know, we can then listen to the admonition of the scripture and gain victory over every temptation that comes in our life. Thank you for joining me tonight. May God bless you until next time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this moment. And we thank you for the simple fact, Lord, of all the things that you are to us. And we ask right now that you will bless us in every magnitude, in every way, Lord. Help us to be aware of the constant war of temptations and the things of this world that will try to come against us, to get us off guard into everything that you have for us, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will bless those under the sound of my voice. And may they have a great understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray. Amen. Father, amen. Son, and amen. Holy Ghost. We hope you enjoyed this episode and this message tonight. Listen, and I hope that it encourages you to have a deeper relationship with our King, Jesus Christ. So listen, do me a favor. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, to the ministry. And again, I hope that it blesses you, and I hope that it gives you an inner desire to grow closer with Jesus Christ. Take care. God bless.